Let me just make sure. Okay, we should be good. Where can we? I don't think I did anything weird.
I have removed.
I know, you're good. Can we put this on here or no?
Yeah.
Is it gonna be a problem for you there?
I don't know.
Sorry, which way do you flip your pages?
This.
I don't know what's causing that. It's this. Sorry, I think it is the wire.
Just put everything up here.
Yeah.
Gee. See, your behavior was appropriate to the title of my talk, Practicing This Very Moment. The Diamond Sutra says, the mind of the past is ungraspable. The mind of the future is ungraspable. The mind of the present is ungraspable. So you can see that this text points to the crux of what practice is and who we are. But before I talk about what practice is and how it relates to who we are, I want to say a few words about what practice is not. And I think it's important to really be mindful of what practice is not. Because as we practice, and it doesn't matter if you've been practicing for a year or 10 years, it's easy to forget what this practice is about. You know, doing interview, people come in and they talk about goals. And I'm often reminded of what Genpo Roshi once said, and that is, we're working hard at becoming stupid. Do you see? We talk about not gaining. Do you see? When you come in the interview room at Soji, you'll note that there's in frame and in kanji. How many of you looked at what's there? What's it say? Yeah, one true man of no rank. So we have to really, really be mindful, you know, and especially during sesshin, when you fall into a routine and it's demanding, it's very easy to become spacey. We end up getting spaced out. So to begin with, practice is not about producing psychological change. And if you want to do that, go see a therapist. But although if we practice long enough and we are mindful, we will produce change. Practice is not about achieving a blissful state or having visions. I've had people come in to interview and talk about seeing rainbows and glorious colors, and they think, oh, that's enlightenment. No, that's delusion. This practice is not about developing special powers. It's not about cultivating nice feelings, happy feelings. See? And that flies in the face of what we've been taught to believe. To lose is to gain. And we have it upside down, see? So I could go on listening what practice is not, but I think you get the point. True practice enables us to see that our desire to get better, to be special, to get somewhere, is not only an illusion, but the source of our suffering. If you invoke success, you're also invoking its opposite. The beautiful thing about Zazen is that it affords us an opportunity to face ourselves, as I've often said, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It enables us to take a good look at ourselves. Rather than to do what we often do, which is to look at everything else. My life is not working because of you. You know. It doesn't have anything to do with me, it's you. If something goes wrong, what do we look at? We look at what is going wrong, and usually at others we think have made it go wrong. See, we don't see ourselves as both the cause and the effect. How many times have you heard me say, you're the only show in town? Shakespeare, all the world is a stage. Men and women are merely play actors. I add that you're the producer, the director, and the star. Oh, I left one out. You also do casting. And as been mentioned so often here in the talks this week, we don't see that we are holding on to a definition of self, and moreover, a need to protect that definition. See, we're not protecting the self, we're protecting the definition. And in doing so, we've missed the true meaning of the phrase, it's all about me, which is code for it's all about the present moment. If you get nothing else, get that. That's what this practice is. See, we don't see that past and future moments can only be experienced in the present. That's all we got, is the present moment. And the present moment doesn't have any length. Any length. You can't measure it. For if it did have length, no matter how short it were, we could divide it into a half that was already in the past and a half still in the future. To quote Okamura Roshi, the present moment has no length, a length of zero. This is to say, the present moment is empty, yet the present moment is the only reality we experience. Because the past is already gone and the future has not yet to come. There is nothing, no actual unit of time we can say constitutes the present moment. And that's a lot to wrap your head around, but that's why we sit. So in other words, the present moment does not exist, and therefore time itself does not really exist. But still from this present moment, which is empty and does not exist, the entire past and the entire future are reflected. We need to see that this present moment, which has no length, is the only true reality of life. It's the only true reality of life. And as such, everything changes at each present moment. Things arise and perish over and over again. Each moment, everything is new and fresh. And if you recall, both during the precept ceremony and the priest ceremony last night. We said Etni Satsutsu Bamutsu Sinchi Nari. And that translates as everything is new and fresh. See, it's right there in the ritual. So we need to see that we can only encounter the past in the present moment as a varied assortment of fragmented and incomplete memories. The future exists only in this moment as our pleasures, desires, projections, and hopes. So in other words, past and future experiences exist simply as products of the mind within this present moment. See, products of the mind in this present moment. You spent a week almost sitting zazen. How present were you? How much time did you spend in the past? How much time did you spend in the future? What I call the true reality unfolds only within this present moment. And this is a little tricky, and yet our mind cannot grasp the present moment. See? It's ungraspable. Why? Because even to think a very simple thought, we need some length of time. Yet the present moment has no length. The present moment is the only actual moment, the only actual immediate experience. It cannot be grasped by the mind. Yet we each think of the present moment as having some length of time. And we place it in the midst of our own story. A story in which we are the hero or heroine, or most likely the victim. There's always some gap between the actual experience of the present moment and our thoughts about the present moment and how we define it. As I've said a few moments ago, the present moment is ungraspable, even though it is the only actual moment of experience. Yet in the words of Okamoto Roshi, when we open the hand of thought in Zazen, we let go of our story and sit right here, right now, in the present moment. We all have karma from the past that influences us through memories, habits, and experiences. But the past has already gone. We hold the future as the container of our hopes, wishes, vows, ambitions, and goals. But the future has not yet come. Then, how can we live fully in this moment if we're caught up in the past? We're afraid to change. If we put too much emphasis on what we think will come, the moment becomes merely a means to reach the future, and our lives become meaningless if we do not reach our goals. Dogen Zenji's teaching about time helps us to see the importance of living fully in the present, right now and right here. Master Dogen says that we can accept our present condition and work to change conditions for the future as a practice in the present moment. This is the meaning of, although there is before and after, past and future, a cut off. which echoes the message of the first three sentences of Jinjo Koan. In those lines, Master Dogen says that there is life and death, enlightenment and delusion, Buddhas and living beings, and yet from another perspective, none of these things exist. Following that, he tells us how we should practice in each moment with life and death, living beings and Buddhas, delusion and enlightenment within the reality that both perspectives are the truth of our lives. When we see practice from the perspective of the first sentence of Jinjo Koan, we see ourselves in the Dharma position of deluded human beings, and we see the Dharma position of an enlightened Buddha as being in the future. Thus, we practice as if we are beginning at some point and walking toward a goal, creating a story that our path contains different steps we must attain on the way to our destination. On this path, we try to measure how far we have walked and how much further we need to travel. Yet in the second sentence of Jinjo Koan, Dogen Zenji says that since there are no such dichotomies as delusion and enlightenment, living beings and Buddhas, and life and death, the process of attaining goals does not exist. We cannot separate reality or practice into the categories of deluded beings or enlightened Buddhas, because only this ungraspable moment-by-moment experience is true reality. And since we're always within this reality that cannot be grasped, since we cannot be somewhere other than this present moment, Dogen Zenji tells us in the third sentence of Jinjo Koan that we can only truly practice in the present. He says our practice is to be fully present right now and right here, whether we are at the Dharma position of deluded beings or at the Dharma position of enlightened Buddhas. Lastly, I leave you with these lines from Dogen's Shobin Genzo Zenki, which translates as total dynamic function. The life of this present moment is within this functioning, this present moment. Life is not coming, life is not going. Life is not appearing, life is not becoming, and yet life is the manifestation of the total function, and death is the manifestation of the total function. We should know that among the numberless dharmas in the self, there is life and there is death.
To save them, dear.